IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.
Space, the podcast where I chat with people within the game that you need to know, already know, and need to be looking up to. Today, I have a really exciting guest. I've teased this on Twitter a little bit. We've got BC coach Acacia Walker-Weinstein on the pod. Coach, thank you for joining me.
Oh, I'm so happy. Thank you for having me. I mean, I've been listening and following you all year, and I was excited to be invited, and I can't wait to chat.
Absolutely. So we touched on this a little bit before we started recording, but, you know, congratulations on the championship. I was there live watching in the press box with Hallie Griggs, who is the women's director for Inside Lacrosse. And I kid you not, like, pretty quiet, you know, press room. People are really busy doing their thing. And then there's me being like, ooh, ah. Like, well, security is going to come for me and come get me. Like,
you and me both at the same time. And sometimes that's how I feel when I watch the girls, you know, at this level, you know, players we're playing against, players that I coach every day. But, you know, I mean, Syracuse, North Carolina, Northwestern, I mean, that's exactly how I feel. I mean, these girls are playing at such a high level. It is incredible. I mean, you know, some of the lacrosse games this year, I said to Kayla, I said, you know, these girls are 20 times better than they were when I was in college. I mean, it is unbelievable. The physical strength, the IQ they're playing with. I mean, even just coaching against, I mean, it's just, it's incredible. It's remarkable. Even to just watch, I'm coaching, but watching and feeling so proud of where the sport has gone and how good these girls are and how smart they are. And it's just, it's amazing where women's lacrosse has gone in the last few years.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, we'll kind of start at the beginning and then get into all the good champion stuff. But you mentioned that the game has advanced so much and grown so much. So you were or are the youngest player to ever be part of the U19 women's lacrosse, USA women's lacrosse team, and you were in the U19 World Championship. So what was that like playing at that stage at 15? Because I feel like that probably, I mean, set the stage for the rest of your career.
You know, it did. Wendy Kreidel, my coach. I mean, I think honestly, she's the one that really taught me the whole like dream big concept, because I was so young and so many people were like, you're crazy. You're going to try out. You're going to have a team. I think I may have even been 14 when I tried out. And then I was 15 when I played. And everyone was like, you're going to get cut. What are you doing? And I just remember my family saying, Keisha, you got to go for it. Just do it. What's the worst that can happen? You don't make it, but go in there and tell yourself you're going to make it. And then Wendy gave me a spot on the team and I got to compete in Australia for a World Cup. And it taught me, just go for it. Don't be afraid. Just go for it. You never know what will happen. And if, you know, who knows what happens if you really do pursue even the scariest of things, or, you know, when the odds are all against you, like, still go for it. Because even if you fail, you're way better off than right. If you had just stayed safe. Right. So I give credit to Wendy for giving me a chance. And it really just inspired me my whole life.
Yeah. That's so cool. When I was doing my research before the pod, I'm like, wait a minute, that is a cool fact. Like, that's a fun fact. Those are things we want to continue celebrating. And I think what you said about just going after those goals is so relevant in every sense, but especially after the year that we've all had, like having a year pretty much where we're kind of idle at home, not even really being able to pursue some of those dreams. And then now it's like, no, like, you got to go after it. You got to do what you've been thinking of.
Yeah. You can't let circumstances around you slow you down or stop you. And, you know, we said to our coaching staff, decided that we wanted to talk to the team this past last summer when COVID was really bad. And we just said, listen, we can't let this stop us. We can't feel victimized by this. We're lucky. Yes, our sport's being taken away, but there are people who are losing their jobs. There are people who are losing their lives, their family members. So let's not be a victim of this. You know, we're going to deal with it and we're going to pursue our dreams despite all of the circumstances around us, but we can't have this be an excuse. And it was really difficult all year. I mean, there were many times that all of us, every single human, felt like we were at a breaking point. And, you know, with our team, there were many times when it would have just been easy to be like, you know what, we gave it a good shot. We're cooked. We're done. All these rules, all these additional sacrifices that we have to make. And instead, the girls were so resilient. I mean, I said to them, and I wrote on my post, you know, their emotional endurance to handle the additional sacrifices and this, you know, this really tough year, they buckled down and decided to continue to go for the most, you know, prestigious position and going to be a national champion. And so I commend all the girls in college that really did this, because it was not easy. So, you know, I think the emotional endurance of the college athletes in all sports at all levels, men and women, it's really remarkable, because the stakes were higher. There was nothing guaranteed. You were sacrificing everything, right, and nothing guaranteed in return. Mm-hmm. To me, that's what it means to really dream big and to go for it and understand you may never get what you want, but let's go for it anyway.
Yeah. So give it the best shot you can. Was there anything kind of special that you did, or how did you maintain morale for your team starting in the fall, particularly just kind of not knowing how the season would pan out?
Yeah. You know, we really just tried to, you know, kind of what a lot of people did, you know, let's try to appreciate being out on the field a little bit more. You know, that was taken from us. You know, and if it hadn't been taken from us, you guys probably would have been dreading practice today, or dreading this run test, or dreading this travel trip. And instead, I think there was a little bit more of, you know, an appreciation for everything. So it actually made the time sweeter. Yeah. And because lacrosse was limited in the fall, and, you know, I think they really did cherish the time that they were together, because they were together with their teammates and socially interacting, but also competing, and they were getting their endorphins going. And, you know, I think it was just overall, we all just tried to cherish it a little bit more. But, you know, we couldn't do a lot of bonding. We weren't allowed, you know, COVID prevented all of that. So it really was just what we were allowed to do at practice. Mm-hmm. And the girls were amazing. Practices were so intense. They were working so hard. They never lost sight of their goal. And, you know, it's pretty special. I mean, all the girls, all the college athletes, it was a tough year.
Yeah, absolutely. And what was kind of the messaging that you gave the team, especially starting really strong and then going into kind of the championship run? You know, I think I look back at my bracket and I look back at all the different brackets, and it's like, okay, well, BC might break in. We don't know what's going to happen. I was along for the ride. I was having fun, but you know, what was that like, being kind of in the driver's seat and making sure your bus was moving into the direction that you wanted it to be?
You know, it was just, it's just important. You know, it was about midway through the season, a couple of weeks after our loss, our butt kicking to Carolina, mid season. And, you know, we noticed that the girls were, really kind of hitting their stride, and the coaches, we were like, you know, they're getting better and better and better. We have a real shot here. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm not, you know, it was really tough, but we had to make some hard decisions, and we sort of tightened things up and we tightened the rules, and we asked the girls to sacrifice even more. And we said, you know, what can we give up to ensure we're keeping ourselves safe from COVID? And let's find a few more things to sacrifice to put us in the best position possible. And it was a really scary time in the season, because they already were doing so much more than normal. But the coaches, my coaching staff, we knew if we're going to make it to championship weekend, we have to sacrifice everything, because no one can hide from COVID. Yeah. And we have to do everything we possibly can. And so we, you know, we made really tough decisions, but the girls, they were open to it. And, you know, we said, listen, we got to buckle down. This is about winning a championship. Mm-hmm. So you got to decide, do you want to do this? You know, and if you can't, I get it. And I support you and I love you. And I understand that this is hard, but if you're in, you got to be all in, and we're going for it. We're not going to use COVID as an excuse. We're going to buckle down, sacrifice a little more, do it together. We can do this. We've got another month. We can do it. Yeah. And the girls did it, and they're amazing for that, because it was not easy. Yeah. So
I feel like I'm like ready to jump up and like kick through a wall.
Oh my gosh. You know, it was just the girls were the inspiration behind the decisions for the coaches because they really were peaking. They were getting better and inching better and getting closer and closer. And they were so coachable all year and they were so supportive of each other and the families, the Boston College families were so amazing. And we really realized we're like, we have a good shot at this. Look at what these guys are willing to adjust in their life, in their day to day. Look at the additional sacrifices. Mm-hmm. And it sort of got us all on the same page, even tighter.
Yeah.
And it was kind of then that I thought really like, I think we can do this because we have such a strong group of girls. Right. And they're incredible. They're incredible humans, resilient, so disciplined. And, you know, like I said, they displayed emotional endurance because that's really what it was. It's emotional endurance.
Absolutely. And I hearing about that buy-in and just hearing you speak so passionately about understanding your players and giving them kind of both the room to grow, but the room to understand the breadth of the situation and they themselves then bring this like intensity and come together to pursue that goal. I think that's so special because buy-in is the biggest thing, right? Like you can have all these voices and you can have this vision for the team, but to then inspire your players to take ownership of that is amazing. And I'm curious, like where have you learned to kind of build that kind of messaging and really instill that inspiration and responsibility into your players?
You know, it started so many years ago with the, you know, I'd say a major shift was maybe in 2016, 2017, before our first national championship. We just had such good leadership and the girls, they were so bought in. They wanted it. And so it hasn't been this big struggle for me to have to push and pull the girls. They're doing that themselves. And we're all kind of rowing in the same direction. And so, you know, I give them credit because, you know, it's a remarkable thing, the ownership. And, but I think it was all them. It's the kind of girl that chooses to come to Boston College. They're raised right. They're raised to choose discipline, you know, sometimes over fun. They know to be unselfish and they're just really good kids. So I give them the credit. Yeah. Ownership is, you know, when you believe that you have, your input directly correlates to the result,
right?
Whether it's good or bad. Mm-hmm. That and our girls have always understood that, and I think they've always felt ownership. It is them, after all. It is them doing it. Right. We're just on the sidelines coaching. We don't really do anything. It's them, mm-hmm. And so you know that's why, like I said, you know when we first started talking, I mean the play this year with all of the teams, it was really special. Yeah. Playing at a really high level.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the storylines that we heard this year was this was the fourth national championship appearance for your team. It might've been in an interview or something I read was how you dealt with those losses. I am curious to know kind of how you felt through that time when, you know, making it to the title game, making it to the finals, and then it not necessarily going your way. Something that I see a lot of times is as a fan and, you know, as a player as well, as if there's kind of that second place where you don't win that final, it can feel a certain way, or you can be like, oh, but you know, we didn't necessarily reach that final goal. So how did you handle that kind of adversity and then kind of still enjoy making it to those stages?
You know, it was, I have to say some of those losses were some of the most heartbreaking days ever, because I just felt so sad for the girls that were working so hard towards it. But I think it was all a part of the process. I spoke to the hockey coach at Boston College, Jerry York. He's the all-time winningest coach in hockey. And I called him after the 2019 game. And I said, I was in tears. And I said, Jerry, what am I doing wrong? What do I do? How do I help these girls? How do we get over the hump? Why are we getting so close and failing? And he said, Acacia, stay the course. This is a part of the process. You don't just get to win because you really want it. You don't just get to win because you have good players. This is a part of the process. And he said, you know, be resilient, stay the course, pick up the pieces. You're close. Just get 1% better. And you know, that's what you need to do. You need to get 1% better. And that's what we really focused on. So all of our decisions since then have been, you know, not to totally change everything. You know, you're tempted to do that because you're like, wow, I failed again. You're tempted to kind of toss everything.
Yeah.
But you're so close at that point. And the program had come so far and the culture was so strong. And like we talked about, there was so much ownership that we just tried to be 1% better. So we were focusing a little bit more on, you know, our recovery, our nutrition, sleeping. How can we travel better? How can we fuel these girls better? How can we protect them in terms of injuries a little bit better? Mm-hmm. And we made small adjustments in all areas and, you know, it finally all came together.
That's awesome.
But I think it just, it goes to show you, like, if you're going to go for something this big, right, you're going to actually go for it and put yourself out on the line and risk everything and risk embarrassment and risk failing, you know, then you can't give up mm-hmm. because it's going to be hard and you're going to fall on your face. Yeah. Right. And that's kind of what we felt like we did. Mm-hmm. But if you stick with it, stay the course, like Jerry said, and go for it again and refuse to give up, you know, then things fall into place. And that's exactly what happened.
Awesome. Yeah. Fall in place. They did. Confetti everywhere.
I know.
We love it. So curious about your journey to BC and how, you know, before you'd mentioned kind of the transition periods that the team went through. So you played at Maryland under Cindy Timshaw, who is an awesome coach, historical coach, and then went to coach at UMass where you were an assistant, and then went to BC where you are now as an offensive coordinator. So what kind of led you to BC? Was there any special calling, any special reason you wanted to be at that team? Or was it kind of just the way things folded out?
Well, you know, so I played with Cindy at Maryland, and then I actually went out to Northwestern and coached with Kelly Amante, who was a Maryland grad. And then went to UMass with Alexis Venichanos. She gave me that opportunity, and she's a Terp too. And then I got to to Massachusetts. And then my now husband was in Boston. And after 2 incredible years with Alexis Venichanos at UMass, and she taught me so much, so did Kelly, so did Cindy. Those are the most influential, you know, women in my life. Bowen Holden, who was the current coach at Boston College, she hired me to come coach with her there. And that's where my journey with Jen Kent, my defensive coordinator, that's where it all sort of started. So I wanted to get closer to my now husband, and I wanted to be back in the ACC, and I was lucky enough to get an opportunity, and, you know, it was life-changing. I'm grateful to all of those people because I wouldn't be where I am without all of those people who helped me.
Yeah, absolutely. And how would you advise someone who's looking to get into coaching? How do they, you know, reach out to people to show their interest and find opportunities to grow their coaching resumes?
Yeah. You know, I think really it's just kind of putting yourself out there. I think it's, you know, one thing I always see when helping our girls get jobs, because that's a major part of what, you know, we try to do mm-hmm. is sometimes you'll hear the girl say, oh, I want to get into real estate, or I want to get into coaching, or I want to get into banking. And, yeah. And the first thing we ask is, okay, what does it mean to you to get into real estate? You know, and you see that they don't always know the job. So what I would say to girls and guys who want to coach is make sure you understand the commitment. It is a lot. It's not just X's and O's. It's not just, you know, playing games. There's a lot that goes into it. But I would say understand the job, and then, you know, put yourself out there and send emails and tell programs and coaches and assistant coaches and head coaches that you're interested if there's ever an opening. And then continue to educate yourself, go to conventions, go watch lacrosse games and study the coaches and study the huddles and watch all kinds of sports, watch NFL, watch WNBA, watch all kinds of sports to see and understand the competitive level, the strategy, the relationships. And, but that's what I would say, understand the job, reach out, and then continue to study.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I feel like the reach out is the scariest part. It's just, okay.
Yeah.
Write this like perfect email, send it over, hope they read it. But I, you know, like you said, just give it a try.
Give it a try, because you never know. You never know who's looking for an assistant, and you may be the perfect candidate.
Right.
And oftentimes, you know, you're not the perfect candidate, but you keep going, and then all of a sudden you find it. Right. And fit is a really big deal. Fit is, you know, so you don't want to just coach anywhere. You want to think about the location. You want to think about the philosophy of the person you'd be working with, the philosophy of the school, find out the type of support they have, you know, find out what the culture of the team is, what's the locker room like. And then, you'll discover if you're the right fit. And if you are, then you got to go for it.
That's awesome. So how did you then become the head coach at BC? What was that transition like? And I guess stemming off the last question too, how did you know you were ready for that position?
You know, I didn't know. I got the opportunity. I interviewed and, it was one of the best days of my life, but you know, I was very young. I had not been a head coach before. And you know, getting the position was a huge leap of faith, I think, because I was so young and I was getting an ACC job. But I was taught a lot from the previous head coach and taught, a lot from, you know, the coaches who mentored me along the way. And I just sort of, you know, took a leap of faith and had a lot of support with my husband and Boston College, and it all kind of worked out. And, you know, that's the way it is with transition. Sometimes you transition from school to school to get your head coaching job. Sometimes it can be internal at the school that you're with. Mm-hmm. It's different, you know, it's different everywhere. So it's unique to the school, but yeah, it was a scary transition. I got married that year. It was my last year on the US team. So there was a lot of chapters ending and a lot of chapters starting. And I feel like that's kind of how things go.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I love it. I feel so inspired. I'm like, I can't wait for everyone to listen to this.
Cause you are amazing. Incredible. No.
What can I do next? What for example
can you do? You go, girl. You do it.
I'm trying. I'm actually heading to Portugal on Saturday for a tournament. So yeah,
that's what
I'm up for. Yeah.
Wait, yeah. What can you tell me more?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So, with the United World Games, it's a program and a kind of big sporting event that happens in different European cities every year. And so, for lacrosse, what they do is they find local tournaments within Europe, and then they bring teams from around the world to come and play. So I've played in Prague, I played in Amsterdam. And then last year was supposed to be, our trip to Lisbon for the Lisbon Cup, which then got moved to this year. So, finally get to go. One of my best friends is going too. And I'm so excited.
Oh my gosh. Do you learn so much while you're over there?
Yes, so much. I mean, we have learned tons of history. I love history. So, you know, we got to see the Berlin Wall, have visited, you know, concentration camps, learned about European history and just the language, like memorizing signs, you know, couldn't read them, but like memorizing how to read signs so I could take the train, and local food. Like that's my favorite, is food every time. So
yes.
Excited about.
But you know, that's so cool. I mean, when you travel in foreign countries, I think you are blossoming as a person, as a human, like, cause you're a little bit like, you're not in your hometown. You don't always know the language. You don't know how to communicate, but you can learn and be educated. That's so special. So cool. Mm-hmm. My senior World Cup was in Prague, and it was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Did you like Prague?
I loved it. It was so beautiful. The food was good. The pollen kind of beat me up a little bit, but aside from that, no, I love Prague. It's my favorite.
Oh, that's so awesome. Wow. So you're doing that in 2 weeks?
No, this Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, this Saturday. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. And how long do you go for?
10 days, I think. Yeah. 10 days there. And then maybe one or two travel days, depending on the math. Yeah. Yeah. So like finishing work this week.
Can I come with you?
Please, please.
Oh my God.
You have my jersey, and then you play for me, and then championship.
So cool. So, I hope you have the best time.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm sure I will. And it, like you said, you know, just opportunity to learn a new culture, and where we're going to be going to Spain as well. So chance to practice my Spanish skills in a Spanish speaking country, because I've only done that once. So,
You need to write me an email and tell me like, 3 things that you learned when you were over there. Gotcha. I want to know how much you, if like what you learned, if you loved it. Oh my gosh, that is so cool.
I will. Yeah. Oh, I'm so pumped. But yeah, I think that even with my team that I'm going with now, you know, it's women from all over the US, and then we have some from Canada coming too. Like we were talking about the championships. We were talking about your team. And so, you know, I just want you to know how inspired we all are by the work that your team has done and what you've accomplished. Like, this has had such wide-reaching impact. And I just want you to know that you're a role model for us, like as a coach, as a player, and in all the ways that you kind of helped champion the women's game.
I mean, thank you so much. I feel like I had such good role models growing up, you know, my family, my husband's family, my coaches. And so, you know, it's just a part of it. You just do your best, you know, right. You just do your best. And, you know, if you're surrounded by really good people and your vision is aligned and everybody's willing to put in all the work, really special things can happen. And, you know, I give so much credit to the people who taught me how to coach, how to play, how to be a good human, a good citizen, because all those things play, you know, such a role. Mm-hmm. You know, and every day that we live, we're learning, you know? And so I feel grateful for all of my experiences because, you know, I was given so many great experiences, so many great chances by my coaches and experiences that were given to me by my family because of their hard work. And so, you know, it's all a part of it. And hopefully you just make an impact on someone and then they grow up and they make impacts on others. And that's kind of how we all do good. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And what do you see for the women's game moving forward? I was reading an interview, I think it was from 2009, and you mentioned wanting to see more women's lacrosse on TV for people to support. So as that also has been happening, what are some other ways that the game can be supported to continue growing?
Yeah. You know, I think one of the big things is, you know, getting more people to follow the U.S. national team. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the biggest things that, you know, one of the greatest things Jenny Levy's doing for the game is she's really working to grow it and to make it more renowned with all the little girls. You know, when I was playing on the U.S. team, they knew us because they were there watching the game, but I want all the little girls to know everyone's name. I want them to know Kayla's name, Kayla Trainer's name. I want them to know Marie McCool. I want it to be like a household name, you know, and offer all of those guys the way the women's soccer team has grown. That's what I really would like to see. And I think Jenny's in a great position. She's done such a good job and she's the person for it. But I think that's what I would like to see because, you know, being on the cusp of being an Olympic sport, I think the more support the national team gets, in following the athletes and traveling to watch them play and watching them on TV and looking them up on Google, all those things are helping to build the brand. And, you know, that's the next big thing I think for our sport and, for the athletes too, because all those girls, I mean, I don't know how much you watched the sixes the other night and the tri. I'm like, what more do the little girls out there need than to be studying and watching these beautiful women playing at the highest level possible? I mean, now we're talking big time, big time. Now, national championship is huge. But when you aggregate all of the greatest players of all time, you know, onto one field, I mean, those are really special moments. And like I said, even those guys are still getting better. Right. And you know, so I think that's what's next.
That's awesome. I love it. Yeah. I watched the sixes and seeing how much money was being raised and, you know, hearing Coach Levy talk about how the money is going to be utilized, you know, instead of just having 2 days of training camp, expanding that training camp, like the U.S. women's soccer team. And, you know, my goal with social media when I started, when I was 14, was just to talk about lacrosse. I was like, I don't care. I just want to complain about practice and like talk about how much I love my pink stick and, you know, whatever. But, you know, as I've grown and understand society and understand how women's sports have traditionally not been as supported as men's, I feel so lucky to be in a position where I just hype everyone up. Like I love, that's the best part of being on social media is just like tweeting out the Charlotte North highlight, like tweeting out.
You do such a good job of promoting the players and the coaches. You do a really good job. And I commend you because you have to work really hard to know your facts and but you do such a good job of building these women up. We need more of that. We need to be building each other up more and more and more because it's teaching these young girls to be strong and to be confident and to support each other. And so you are a role model too.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That makes me happy. Yeah. It just, you know, I want to share, I learned so much of the game watching, you know, I was watching Kayla Trainer highlights on YouTube, like some random person was putting them together and I would just Google Kayla Trainer highlights and be watching it.
So, I don't know if there's a highlight reel that's better than Kayla's.
Oh my God. I don't. just amazing. I'm like, I probably, you know, can't execute at the same level, but in my head, it's the exact same. We're doing the same.
That's all that matters. It's exactly. Just what's up here, right?
Enjoying it and having fun with it. That's all we need. So today the U.S. women's training roster was released and 5 of your players are on there. How does that feel? Like, what does that feel like? Including freshman sensation, Belle Smith, and of course, Charlotte North, who is a fan favorite, Touratown winner, absolutely amazing player of the year. You just must feel so much pride.
Oh, you know, I do. I'm so proud of them. I'm just not surprised. I'm so proud that they believed in themselves to go on, you know, onto that stage and go, you know, be great. And I'm proud of them because I know that that's what they're capable of. And I'm just excited because I think now they're going to feel good about themselves, even better about themselves. And that's really what I love is, you know, they're going to believe in themselves a little bit more now. And not that they didn't, but just, you know, this is the next step for them. And it makes me happy to think that they're going to feel good and maybe go achieve more and go be a bigger inspiration. And it's incredible for Boston College. I mean, you know, the first couple players to make the U.S. team were many, many, many years ago. And now we have, you know, a handful. It's unbelievable, but it's all about them and they make each other better. And I think when you get to that level, you have to be the kind of player that you choose to be the type of player that makes other people better. Yeah. And it's really what Boston College Lacrosse is all about. And I think it's just really special now that they're getting recognition on the national level. I'm really proud of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I spoke with Charlotte on the last podcast episode, which I enjoyed doing so much, she, you know, going into that in my head, I'm like, oh, Charlotte North, you know, she's scoring X number of goals a game, like the big star. But I was so struck and so many people were struck by how humble she is and how much credit she gave to her teammates. And that reminded me of, you know, the big three that you had, Sam Rapuzzo, Dempsey Arsenal, Kenzie Kent, and the way that they also were so humble, but such kind of integral parts of the team. How does that, you know, as a coach, seeing your players not only be the stars, but also be leaders and be humble and bring that sort of leadership to your team and now also to the Team USA team. You know, what's that kind of like for you to see that play out?
You know, the humble don't stumble. You know, if you are humble and it's always all about others, mm-hmm. then no matter how tough a situation is, if you're constantly doing your best for others, genuinely, like, I want you to do great. I want you to be great. I want you to be special. And I'm going to give you everything I have. Then you're also getting all of that in return. So right. That's why a lot of these girls at BC are getting so much better year after year after year, because they're surrounded by players who are unselfish mm-hmm. and humble. And so when the going gets tough, whether that's, you know, we're down by 10 goals or if it's COVID or if it's, you know, playing in blizzards, they don't crack because it's everything they do is unselfish. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's all about you and things get hard, then you just blame. You want to blame everybody or you want to have excuses. But when you're working for others and things get hard, you don't give up on others. So they stay very much intact when things get difficult. And so I'm proud of them because that is the BC way. That is what we expect of our players, to be unselfish and to be working unselfishly in all that you do and all of your training and, you know, in the minutes of the game. Yes. But everything else and all the moments in between, it's got to be about the team. It's got to be about your teammates because that's, you know, that's what keeps you tight when things are hard.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's amazing. I was in awe. I remember texting Hallie after. I'm like, she was so humble and so cool. I kept being like, Charlotte, so like the 8 goals that you had and this and that. And, you know, again, it's like my teammates helped me get there, you know, and I think the humble don't stumble. The
rhetoric. It's not that is our recipe. It is do it for everyone else. And then if we're all working for other people, then remember all those other people are also working for you. And it's why Sam Apuzzo got so good and Kenzie and Dempsey and Charlotte, it's because their teammates are working for them. Yeah. And when that happens, that can be dangerous. When you've got all of your superstars who are playing at a high level for other people, you know, it's remarkable. It's very special. These girls are such good people.
That's awesome. So I know the season just ended and you're probably just catching your breath, like chilling. Okay, finally I get to breathe. But what are you looking forward to this summer and next season? What's kind of like lighting you up to get back out there sometime soon?
You know, I think we'll probably start, you know, where we've started in the other years. And it's just, okay, how can we be 1% better? What needs to change? What didn't we have down this past year? What resources do we need? How do we need to tweak practices? You know, and then obviously recruiting and finding the next round of girls is going to be so exciting. But really, I'm just excited to be with my family and enjoy it, you know, and be creatively brainstorming about next year. And, you know, and that's really it.
That's amazing. Well, I know everyone listening is so pumped to keep cheering you on. You know, for anyone listening that is going through something or working towards a goal, if you could just give them like a one-liner to help them continue working towards that or get to that next level, in summation of all the amazing inspiration you've given, what's something that you hold close to your heart that just keeps you going?
You know, I think it's continue to work hard and trust yourself, trust the process, whether you're in an up or a down, or, you know, if you've received a million people telling you can't do it, just trust yourself, stay the course. When things go wrong, stay the course. Be unselfish, you know, give good to the world and the world will give back to you. Wait your turn and don't ever give up.
I love it. And one last question that I know everyone is wondering, where can the fans get those bright green BC Eagles? Can we support the team and get those shirts?
I'm trying. Our athletic directors have supported us because it's obviously not a BC color, but I'm trying to get it so we can sell them at camp and I'll send you one. Either way, I'll send you one.
I love it. Yeah, I've got the bright green water bottle and the bright green shirt just to match. But Coach, thank you so much for joining me. This has energized me. I feel like I can like literally go run 10 miles and probably have to Uber back. But
I feel the same way about you. Thank you for having me. And write me that email. I want to hear about next weekend. I'm dying now.
IL Women Podcast. The source of her sport.